10.
They come to the wire, and Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it.
9.
The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable cigar.
8.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset. Cigar has been denied.
7.
Here is our king to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
6.
This is unbelievable! Zenyatta! What a performance, one we'll never forget!
4.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave!
3.
Wise Dan's got him! Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile!
2.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
1.
California Chrome! Still coming! California Chrome! Arrowgate steals the show at the Breeders' Cup Classic!
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Presented by Red Brand Fence. Now, live from Clunker's Corner at Santa Anita, here's Bobby Newman and Megan Devine.
Arcadia, California this morning, T-minus about 28 hours and counting for the first of 14 Breeders' Cup races here at beautiful Santa Anita Park, the great race place. And you're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown 2019. Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine. We've got a lot to cover in this 2 hours, and we are going to jump right in with our first of many special guests today, Mike Smith. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Quite a big weekend for you. Of course, we didn't really need too much of an introduction for the winningest jockey in the Breeders' Cup with so many amazing victories, and you've got quite a few good mounts this year. Mike, does it ever get old, the excitement leading up to Breeders' Cup?
No, it never gets old. Matter of fact, this is a time where it gets the most exciting, the day before it all starts, man. Everyone's happy about the way their horses are training, and everyone's, like I said, this is a place to be right now.
Mike Smith with 26 Breeders' Cup victories to date on his resume, and purses of almost $36 million earned just in the Breeders' Cup races alone. He's going to have some big chances both tomorrow and Saturday to add to those totals. He's got one Scabbard in the Juvenile tomorrow, but several big names Saturday, including two morning line favorites, Omaha Beach in the Dirt Mile and Midnight Bisou in the Distaff. Is this something, I know it's exciting, any of these stake races that some of these horses run in, but when you get to the end of the year championships like this, any butterflies, any different feeling coming in?
No, I mean, even if it's, any big race, you always get butterflies, and if you don't, you're probably too old to be in the game, I guess, or you don't care much about it. So it's always an exciting time, and, if I told you that I wouldn't, some sort of nerves going on, I'd be lying to you. If you ain't nervous, you ain't ready. So, once you get on is when you kind of calm down and you feel more in control and you have some sort of control. Just sitting here thinking about it all or wondering who's going to do what and what horse is going to show speed, what horse is going to do this. And that's when you kind of get the little, nervous kind of feeling. But once you get on, all is good.
10 years ago Saturday, of course, you rode Zenyatta to a victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Reflect on that for us quickly as we celebrate that anniversary.
Well, certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, moment of my career anyway. I've never seen a race like that since or even after, where the whole crowd, even the competition was just cheering her on afterwards, man. It was like a 20 to 30 minute standing up ovation for her afterwards, and I paraded her all the way down to the end of the grandstand, and the ground was literally shaking. That's how many people were jumping up and down for her. She was just different. She was just something that you had to have witnessed to really understand it. It's hard to put into words on how special she was to our sport and mm-hmm. to so many people to this day. There's not a day that goes by that someone doesn't say something about Zenyatta. So
really a filly and mare of a lifetime right there, but you ride a very good filly this year as well in the Breeders' Cup Distaff in Midnight Bisou. She's 6-5 on the morning line, 7 wins from 7 starts this year. How can you make her case for possible horse of the year?
I think she's already made it for herself, to be honest with you. I mean, man, she's won all over the place as well, too, you know, from Oakland to New York to Texas. I mean, just everywhere. And now she's back here where she actually started. She was very fond of this racetrack as a 2-year-old, so I'm hoping that she remembers that.
Mike, you were actually on her for her third race, her first graded stakes victory in the Grade 2 San Inez. How has she developed since then to now?
Just bigger and stronger and prettier. She's just gorgeous right now. She's actually just blossoming. You know, talking about this could be her last race. You know, I know she goes up to the sale after this race. But, you know, she's doing so good right now. I guess there's a possibility whoever does get her could keep her in training, which I certainly hope so, because she's doing better now than ever. She's training better now than ever. She's getting over the racetrack really well. You know, you just want your chance. You know, all I ask for is for her to get a fair shot at it. And if given so, we could see something special.
Of course, in the Dirt Mile, you've got Omaha Beach for Richard Mandela. And you guys, surprisingly, have never won a Breeders' Cup race together.
No, but he sure has beat me. So if you can't beat him, you join him, right?
Right?
So I'm happy to be a part of the Mandela team on Saturday as well. And Omaha is doing really, really good. Couldn't ask him to be doing any better, to be honest with you. He's another one. You know, at this stage, look, they're all doing good. You know, and they're all doing well. But he's, you know, if he runs his race and gets the opportunity to do so again, he's training like a beast right now.
Were you surprised with that last race? I mean, 6 furlongs, a little bit different for him. What were you thinking down the stretch?
I think it was. I knew he was capable of it, believe it or not, though. I knew that if I was within a couple of lengths of him at the quarter pole, that he would finish strong. And, you know, he certainly wants to go a whole lot further than 3/4 of a mile, so that if I was within 2 of them, I might be able to run him down. But to be honest with you, down the backside, when Chantilly got that easy early lead, I thought it would be almost impossible to run him down. I was really just kind of riding to at least be a good second and then gallop out real strong and see where that puts us, you know. But, man, he wind up running him down. And to run that horse down, that's a superior sprinter. I mean, he's a solid, probably one of the best sprinters in the world right now. So, it was very shocking and surprising that I got him, to be honest with you.
You do also...
We hear the buzzer going off in the background.
Being run off with at the moment.
There's a horse being run off in the opposite direction, but great job by the outrider capturing them.
Should have never.
Yep, I think they came off.
speaking with jockey Mike Smith, you mentioned the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Omaha Beach, really one of the more intriguing runners coming into the Breeders' Cup, because after that win, which surprised some people, beating Chancelot, we didn't know. Does that mean maybe he would go in the Breeders' Cup Sprint? Would he go in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile? Some people thought maybe he would jump up in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Obviously, the Dirt Mile is where he landed. How much input did you have with trainer Dick Mandela and maybe the owners in maybe landing this horse where he did in the Dirt Mile?
I don't know how much input I had in the decision of where he was going to run. I think all along we planned on running in the Dirt Mile. That was a plan, that we'd come running in the sprint, probably wouldn't catch him, but come running, gallop out real strong, get him ready for the mile.
Right.
He ran so well that you either thought the sprint or the classic. Myself, I thought if you're going to run a mile, let's just go the extra quarter of a mile, you know, run in the classic. But I think the reason, that's just me talking. You have to talk to the owners and of course, Mr. Mandela about it. But when they decided to keep him in training after the Breeders' Cup and get the opportunity to run maybe like in the Pegasus coming up or this new race that's in the Middle East, I think that kind of made him say, you know what, let's go ahead and run him where we think. It's a reasonable spot to probably run him back in. Just go ahead and step up to a mile. Don't try and go the mile and a quarter with the best horses in the country, and then we'll get a shot at them in the next race or two, you know.
In the Breeders' Cup Classic, you have won the Classic for the ownership group and the trainer with Drosselmeyer in 2011. You ride Yoshida this year, but you've been on 2 other entries in the race, Seeking the Soul and McKinsey. How does that go into your strategy or how you might ride the race, your insight that you have going in?
Well, it wouldn't be strategy-wise for me because, you know, Yoshida comes from way back. He'll probably be, you know, in the back of the field for first part. So I don't have a big play in that. But I was really excited, you know, after losing the mount on McKenzie to get the opportunity to pick up a horse like Yoshida, because this is the kind of horse that would, and we've seen him do it before. When he's run his A race, he's beat these kind of horses before.
He was coming for you in the Whitney.
Especially at going a mile and a quarter. He as well as the mare in there, Elate, are probably the two true mile and a quarter horses, mile and a quarter. They really want to run a mile and a quarter, whereas some of them might not quite want to go that far, but that don't mean you can't win in a mile and a quarter, even though you're not a true mile and a quarter horse. So it's certainly possible, but I know he's going to come running. If I can get him to get into a good, happy, comfortable rhythm early on, he's going to come with a huge run.
If you win that race, you will tie Jerry Bailey and Chris McCarron for the most classic wins of all time.
That'd be nice.
What would that mean to you?
That'd be amazing. You know, I'm only blessed to only be one off of Jerry Bailey right now in the Grade One record, so I'd certainly like to get that before Johnny catches all of us. You know, Johnny Velasquez is right behind us. So hopefully we can pull that off this week. We're certainly going to try to. I think I'm very live on my two-year-old on Friday, and then, you know, jumping into Saturday, man, with Midnight and Omaha, Yoshida, Hawk Creek Hustle, He'll Come Flying. I mean, I've got some really nice horses coming up that are not without a big, big chance.
In the Friday, in the juvenile, you ride Scabbard for Eddie Keneally. Now, Mike, talk a little bit about when you get on horses for the first time, and also, have you heard anything from Eddie about this horse? Because he seems a little quirky.
No, he, you know, I watch his races. Man, he's the sneaky horse.
And I think so.
I really do. If you look at it, if you're a trip player, you know, if you're a handicapper and you handicap off of trips, boy, you'd have to like this horse. You know, in the Iroquois, he got stopped at a crucial point in the race from about the 3.5 to almost the quarter pole till he got free, and he came with a huge run. And you know, Dennis's Moment, who could possibly, and I think, will go all favored in the juvenile.
Yeah,
only beats him a length in 3/4, and he at least gave up that much ground. You know, having to wait for room, and no fault of no one's. It's just sometimes it happens in a race. You know, where you just don't have any room, but if I could get this horse the kind of trip that I like to get him, a nice, smooth, if he's within a length or two off of him heading for home, he's not without a big chance to run him down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike, we know you've got a lot of commitments. You're being pulled every different direction leading up to Breeders' Cup. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Breeders' Cup Countdown this morning. Wish you the best of luck both tomorrow and Saturday. And, of course, going forward, it seems like you're going to ride forever and ever.
I'm going to try to ride as long as I can, you know. I mean, people ask me when I'm 53 now, and people are asking when are you going to hang it up? But, you know, I'm in great shape. As long as I can stay healthy.
Those are just people tired of you
beating
them.
Yeah, you know,
that's
I'm having fun. It's just getting funner and funner. Every time you think that it can't get any better than this, man, I've been very blessed. So I'm going to carry it as long as I can, another few years anyway.
You love the horses.
I just love being around them, love riding them, and you know, I love to stay in this industry, but the best part to stay in it is on top of a horse's back. So hopefully I can stay there for a while longer.
We hope so.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire, World of Trouble.
World of Trouble and Manny Franco win the Jiper.
World of Trouble takes the Carter.
One of the fastest horses of his generation, the son of Cantharos captured both the Grade 1 Carter on dirt and Grade 1 Jiper on turf this year, and would go on to record 100-plus buyer speed figures in his last 7 starts, including a 118 buyer as a 3-year-old, the highest 3-year-old buyer speed figure of 2018. World of Trouble, standing at Hillendale.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with the Racing Feast, Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with seven stakes races, headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. Free nominations for all the Land of Enchantment Day stakes close November 15th. For more information, call 575-492-7086 or go to ZiaParkCasino.com.
Adena Spring Stallion, Go Sapper. The consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
In 2019, Go Sapper is the sire of double-digit stakes winners for the seventh straight year, and his current stars include Del Mar Futurity winner Nucky and three-year-old Philly sensation Guarana.
On to another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club, American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant, Go Sapper, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Arrogate, the solitary three-year-old, is sweeping after him in earnest as they race well clear of Melatonin. Frosted is next from Keen Ice. Top of the stretch, California Chrome is a length in front, but he faces an uncommon opponent today. Arrogate tries hard to reel in California Chrome. California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome. They were 10 lengths clear of Keen Ice, and Opportunity was fourth. Back in fifth position would be Melatonin.
Michael Rona on the call of the 2016 Breeders' Cup Classic here at Santa Anita, won by Arrogate, defeating California Chrome. Mike Smith aboard Arrogate that day for trainer Bob Baffert. Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine, Breeders' Cup Countdown 2019. We had Mike Smith on so quickly, we didn't really get to set the scene, Megan, of what's going on.
He sets the scene. He is Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, he certainly is, and he's one of the stars of the show, and deservedly so. Through a lot of hard work and obviously good fortune, he's won a lot of races and a lot of money over the years, and there's no reason that's not going to continue, especially in the next couple of days. But taking a look at what we're looking at here, we're right at the end of the home stretch at Santa Anita Park. It's another picture-perfect day
in Arcadia.
The end
or the beginning, technically.
Exactly.
It's a trick question.
That is true. But once again, it's a day where the temperatures are somewhere in the high 40s in the morning. It's supposed to actually get up to 82 degrees today. By race time tomorrow and Saturday, in the low to mid-80s, no chance of rain, clear skies, not windy, absolutely perfect conditions. We've got a clear view of the San Gabriel Mountains directly in front of us. And a lot of Breeders' Cup contenders still coming on to get their final, not works, but final leg stretchings before their races. And we just saw something you don't normally see here in the States, with the Aidan O'Brien contingent single file heading out onto the track.
They're just, I mean, they do that everywhere, and they do that in the gallops over in England, so it's what they're accustomed to, but it's truly a sight to see. I mean, I didn't count how many horses, it was 12, 10, I don't know how many just went by us, but all beautiful there, all with the maroon cap for Aidan O'Brien's horses and riders, and boy, that was really, really exciting to see. It's always nice to have them here, the internationals that chip in, it just mixes things up for us, and it truly is the world championship, so we're happy to have them here.
We did actually have a little bit of excitement early on in the morning. Shecky Shabazz, who was one of the very talented horses in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint this year, horse who's been lighting it up in New York, going gate to wire in his turf sprints recently, a little bit nervous when he was standing here in front of Clocker's Corner. He was just acting up, kind of taking in everything. And I think I don't know if it was the fact that there is a pretty decent crowd here, mm-hmm. Clocker's Corner this morning, or it's just different surroundings, but he acted up a little bit and unseated his exercise rider. Neither the rider nor the horse had any injuries. The rider got right back up. The horse never went down. He mm-hmm. just kind of propped a little bit.
Sure.
And put on a little bit of a show for the folks standing here, and there were little oohs and ahs, and Shecky Shabazz. It was just one of those things. And
It's different for horses. They are creatures of habit, for sure. And when they see everybody here at Clocker's Corner, I mean, yeah, there's people usually at Clocker's Corner, but not nearly the crowd that we have here. I mean, I don't know how many people you would say are here this morning, but there are certainly a ton. And it's something you do want to keep in mind, though, especially for these younger horses, how they handle the crowd. We've talked about that on the show all week. The mental game has to be up to par here.
I would say there are 300 or 400 people walking around here. And mm-hmm. the combination of that and the fact that this horse has been mainly an East Coast horse. This mm-hmm. is—he's probably only been here in Southern California a couple of days right now. It's different for him, and it is what it is. But better to do it now when you're just standing around and taking things in than when you're going to the track and the business of Saturday when the Breeders' Cup Tour Sprint. Now we had actually an incident yesterday as well with Giant Expectations, and it was one that we weren't able to see. He did the similar type of thing, acting up and unseating the rider while waiting to come onto the track for mm-hmm. the training session. They were just standing there at the gap at the gate. It was closed. It was busy because there were a lot of horses waiting to come on, and obviously something spooked him. Maybe it was the specter of Halloween on the horizon, which is today. And a little disappointing, by the way, that nobody at Clocker's Corner is dressed up today.
Really? I was thinking it was a relief for these horses. On the track now, by the way, a couple of Breeders' Cup horses. Hog Creek Hustle is just kind of standing there with the rider. He actually, I don't know who the rider is. I know Mike worked him just a couple of days ago, but he's got some pretty short stirrups there. So I'm kind of wondering what Hog Creek Hustle is going to do today. Late also came out with the pony. Was just jogging the wrong way a moment ago. I haven't, actually, she's just about to come around the turn there at the, what is that, the 3/8 pole over there?
And she's been doing this regularly where a lot of them are coming out earlier. Late has been coming onto the track later the last few mornings.
We can set our clocks by her, really.
Yeah, and I think she likes to be the star of the show, and she's going to have a chance to prove it at facing the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic in the final Breeders' Cup race on Saturday afternoon, evening, I guess, if you're watching it. Mm-hmm. On the East Coast.
She's just going by us now. You know, one of the things that's so great about her is she's just so relaxed. She just switched leads there at the 3/16 pole, and she's just really going through her motions. She's not being asked to do anything. She looks fit and ready to go here, and she's just a powerhouse. She kind of has that nice, long, easy running style that a horse like Royal Delta had, some of those very talented fillies where just nothing bothers them. They take it all in stride.
And I think that's one of the main reasons that Bill Mott and his team decided to go in the mile and a quarter classic is mm-hmm. the distance of the mile and a quarter.
Right.
It's not so much staying away from Midnight Bisou in the distaff. I think they like the fact that they're going to get an extra bit of distance, even if they're having to face the boys.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for a horse like that, you talk about needing that extra real estate. They just kind of need that extra, I guess, quarter of a mile, whatever it is, eighth of a mile to get up into their top stride. For some of us, they don't accelerate as quicker than others. Some of our Mack trucks, still powerful, but maybe need a little bit more. Some are sports cars with the sprinters. So it just depends on what type of a horse you have. But credit to, of course, Hall of Famer Bill Mott for knowing his horse. Like we said the other day, he actually thought about the classic against the boys last year, but they just weren't in that spot to do so as the Aiden O'Brien contingent passes it one more time. It's just amazing.
It really is. This is something you never see with the horses based here in the United States. They came out and they jogged in a single file line past us. Looks like there are about 10 or 11 of them right now, and they've done whatever little work they have. They all gathered, and now they're walking single file back to the barn. So a very regimented program. That obviously these horses are used to across the pond, and none of them look like they're anything but very happy right now in these cooler Southern California morning conditions we're having right now, temperature about 50 degrees.
it's great to see these horses too, because a lot of them, I mean, we've got plenty of turf horses, obviously, but Fleeting just caught my eye there. That's a horse that, talk about a movement of a horse and efficiency, athleticism, just moves so freely through the shoulder. There's absolutely no hitch in the step for Fleeting, and that's what you like to see over a turf horse with their stride, but you can certainly see it at a walk too. They kind of flick out their toe a little bit more, and they just have a lot of free movement through their shoulder, which you don't often see in a dirt horse. Their shoulders are usually a little bit more upright, and they don't have that same type of a movement, but it's like, I mean, Wayne Lucas said it best. You want to look for a horse that walks like a cat, and that's absolutely what we saw from Fleeting there. And I'm going to mispronounce the name. Etoile? Is that the...
Etoile.
Etoile. Thank you. I didn't take French. I took Spanish. So that one also caught my eye at the end of the Aidan O'Brien contingent there.
We're going to have a great show. We go until 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern today. Several guests still to come on the show. Phil Lebhertz, one of the co-owners of Smiling Tiger, who was a great racehorse in his career and has now got off to a good stallion career. Trainer Dale Romans, who's going to send out the morning line favorite Dennis's Moment in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile this year. We'll have Max Pimlott on with us. He's with the International Racing Bureau. Help us out with a few of the Euros and how we're going to handicap some. Then Dean Reeves, who's a co-owner of Channel Maker and the owner of Mucho Macho Man, and since this is Mucho Macho Man Week here on HRRN, he will be with us. And then Conrad Banderoff, the vice president of Denali Stud, also on with us. Folks, be sure to join our HRRN team for exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race Friday and Saturday afternoon. We'll be live from Santa Anita beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow and 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Both broadcasts can be heard nationwide on Sirius 219, XM 201, along with terrestrial affiliates across the country. And if you can't make it to a radio, you can stream the broadcast live on your computer, phone, or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. So join us tomorrow from 4 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturday from 3 to 9 p.m. Eastern for exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race. The Breeders' Cup runs on HRRN. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Come out to Gulfstream Park on Friday, November 29th for the kickoff of the championship meet. Enjoy the heart-pounding excitement of live thoroughbred horse racing showcasing some of the best jockeys and horses in the world. Be one of the first to experience the all-new outdoor dining terraces or have brunch while viewing the racing at 10 Palms. Make sure to come early to get your free 2020 Gulfstream Park wall calendar while supplies last. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details and a full schedule.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Elite Sales is the number one consigner of horses of racing age and broodmare prospects. Their consignment at the Fasig Tipton Knight of Stars sale includes five individual Grade 1 winners, five-time Grade 1 winner Midnight Bisou, Separation of Powers, Mia Mischief, Secret Spice, and Wildcat. At Kingland November, Elite Sales is offering two-time Grade 1 winner Spice Perfection, Grade 3 winner and Grade 1 placed Elysia's World, and Grade 2 winner Grade 1 placed Rimska in Book 1. Learn more at EliteRaceSales.com.
Do you watch races like the Kentucky Derby and wonder what it would be like to be in with a chance? With a live runner on horse racing's biggest stages, West Point Thoroughbreds can get you there. You can play in a big way right away. We've been doing it for 28 years. The Derby? Been there. Won that. Go online at westpointtv.com. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships.
Ironicus. This graded stakes-winning millionaire defeated over 20 Grade 1 winners, including Canadian champion and horse of the year Up With The Birds. A Grade 2 winner and course record setter at Saratoga, he won three graded stakes and was runner-up in multiple Grade 1 events. This year, his first yearlings have sold for over seven times his stud fee. The leading money earner at stud for emerging sire of sires Distorted Humor. Ironicus, standing at Claiborne Farm.
One book, one session, one spectacular evening. On November 5th, the stars will align at Fasig Tipton. featuring a catalog of top race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. A night of stars with over 60 graded stakes winners or producers and no less than 24 grade one winners, champions, or producers. No Sale offers a higher concentration of quality anywhere in the world. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 5th in Lexington, Kentucky. Where will you be?
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They come into the quarter pole now, and Smiling Tiger in front by two. Costa Freedom chased after in second. Easy's Gentleman, Al Brujo, and Scenic Flash. Heads a turn for home in the Bring Crosby now. Smiling Tiger's breathing fire. He's got to find more. He's taken on by Scenic Blast. Easy's Gentleman. Costa Freedom, not his day today. Smiling Tiger's digging deep. He keeps on finding. And the more they asked, the more he gave. And Smiling Tiger, a tenacious winner of the Bing Crosby under Victor Espinosa. Smiling Tiger to Scenic Blast. Easy's Gentleman, El Brujo, Costa Freedom, and Sky Cape.
Trevor Demmon on the call there of the Bing Crosby down at Del Mar Grade 1 event, won by Smiling Tiger for trainer Jeff Bondi and owner Phil Lebhertz. And we're happy to have owner Phil Lebhertz on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Exciting times for Smiling Tiger. He himself, as a racehorse, was super, super fast here in Southern California. Seven graded stakes wins, including three grade ones. We heard the Bing Crosby there. He won the ancient title here at Santa Anita, which has since been renamed the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. He also won the Triple Bend. He earned almost $1.5 million in his career. And now standing at stud here in California at Harris Farms in Coalinga, his 2020 stud fee, $7,500. Exciting times because not only was he great horse on the track, but he's also the sire of Spice Perfection, who's got a big shot Saturday in the Philly and Mare Sprint.
Yeah, I think over 4-1, you know, with a horse from Perfect Feet, right? And it's a great story, actually. Mm-hmm. Because I sold the baby in the August Pleasanton sale for $6,500.
Really?
Yeah. The guys who bought it were 10 guys got together. I mean, no, that was the guy. He pin hooks it and gets $50,000 in March from 10 guys who put in $5,000 each. They won $950,000 or so with Spice Perfection, beat Dream Tree in the Santa Anita race last December, and then sold her for $950,000. And the guys who bought her went to Keeneland and won the Madison. And then they just won the Thoroughbred Club of America. Now they're in the Breeders' Cup at 4-1.
She's the gift that keeps on giving it. She's only a 4-year-old filly. And by the way, I buy her next? I don't have that kind of money, but I'd like to be involved.
And by the way, her trip in winning the Thoroughbred Club of America last time out was phenomenal, because it looked like she was finished as soon as the gates opened. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and watch the replay of that and listen to Kurt Becker's call, he sounds as surprised as anybody coming down the lane, almost like, holy smokes, Spice Perfection is somehow in this race. And not only somehow in this race, but she ends up winning by a head over Dawn the Destroyer. And 4-1 on the morning line, draws near the outside, looks like there's plenty of speed in the race. She's definitely one of the ones.
I hope so. You know, this is my 8th Breeders' Cup entry, uh-huh. Right? And, you know, we came in third twice with Tiger, who got the one hole both times. And
so you're happy to be on the outside.
Yeah. And then we won. We were the I'll just say it this way. We were the first ones to cross the finish line with She's a Tiger, which is his sister, half-sister. And then we've had we had five more in there, you know, here and there. Majestic Stride came in fourth and a few other horses. So, you know, I'm just sitting here going like, no, I'm not going to get too excited because it's tough. These are the best horses in the world.
It's easy to get excited, though. I mean, the Breeders' Cup, we're just talking with Mike Smith. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the winningest jockey of all time, if you're a casual fan, if you're a breeder, a handicapper like myself and Bobby, it never gets old around this time of year. It's like Christmas for us.
It's a ball, and Mike rode Miss Sunset for us, mm-hmm. You know, which was another home run on this breeding thing.
For Jeff Bondi, right?
Yeah, and we had, that was an Into Mischief, but we bought it in the very first year of Into Mischief.
Okay. So,
and it was another one that we bought to breed to Tiger. Uh-huh. Mursad Martanovich bought it for us for $30,000 or something. And we had the baby and just sort of ignored it, right? Because we wanted to breed a tiger with this. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know the story. So she went on to win, I don't know, 900,000 or something. And we kept her, so that was good. And then we she didn't do so well in the Breeders' Cup, but we sold her. And it's a big story.
Certainly seems like a lot of good cowbreds that we've seen throughout the year here at Santa Anita and Del Mar and everywhere, but Spice Perfection, a cowbred in the Breeders' Cup against the best of them all, Kentucky breds and all of that. I mean, what can you say about the California breeding scene and your part in that?
Well, after Spice Perfection won the Santa Anita race last year, we had 75 people sign up between December 26th and January 1st because I had a special on, right? Like, we have a special on right now that if they actually sign up and give us a deposit before this race, it's only $6,000. So they can save $1,500. After the race, it's anybody's guess.
Okay,
yeah,
so now speaking of that,
yeah.
And we're talking with Phil Lebhertz, who's the owner of Smiling Tiger. Just looking at it from your ownership of the sire perspective, if Spice Perfection were to win Saturday the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, what does that do to the value of Smiling Tiger as a stud?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this. After last year's Grade 1 win, right, we started to get calls from Kentucky. And so, you know, I would suspect that he's probably – we win this race, but even if we don't, because his prodigy is doing so well.
Right.
He's somewhere in the $2 million range. But we're getting calls already, so all you folks in California better to take advantage while you can, because we're getting calls from Kentucky, New York. We're getting calls from Korea, too. He had a horse mm-hmm. called Ace Korea, which was Horse of the Year in Korea.
There you go.
Right? We sold the mare in full, and it mm-hmm. became that.
There's a lot of U.S. breds out there, too. I mean, yeah, they are very interested in our market.
He had the Horse of the Year in Washington, in Baja Sur. He had the Cruel Intention. Was the two-year-old Horse of the Year. Spice Perfection was the older filly, I think.
Cruel Intention is one that West Point, I think, ended up
yeah.
buying. Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah, yeah. That was so exciting. What a fun horse.
But so the $7,500 fee is locked in for 2020. Is that correct?
That's the fee after this race. But no, these things are supply and demand like everything else. So.
Okay, so, I mean, even though it's – if they book now – mm-hmm. they get the $7,500 guarantee fee, but if all goes well on Saturday, that could go up, correct?
That's correct. But right now it's $6,000.
Okay. Urgency.
I did
is
this
key.
The special.
So what you're saying is there's gambling even when it comes to deciding to breed.
Definitely.
Everything is a gamble, yeah. but I'm saying, we could pay the $6,000 now, uh-huh. Maybe we should do that because if we think Spice Perfection's going to win, you know, maybe they're going to raise it to $9,000 or $10,000.
As a businessman through and through.
Well, I look at more as markets
yes,
and demand,
yes.
rather
you
than gambling. And so, I think it's fun, this is your opportunity. If you want to breed a tiger, all you have to do is sign a contract and give us $250.
There you go.
And then you got a spot. But last year we had 120 contracts to them last year.
Wow.
And that's a lot for California.
Yeah.
And, we think we're probably going to get that or more this year.
Awesome. Yeah.
Smiling Tiger was one of the fan favorites in the last 5 or 10 years here in Southern California. For folks who live here in California or even up near Coalinga, can they go to Harris Farms and see him?
Of course. Yeah. we had an opening. We had about 40 or 50 people there just to show the stallions at Harris, and I got to tell you, when Tiger comes out, he owns the joint.
Does he?
He does.
The good horses know they're good.
Everybody knows it, and he really knows it. He's always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we bought him in Washington at the sale, Washington State. We paid around $40,000 for him, and so the people in Washington love him. He's mm-hmm. the best racehorse that ever came out of their side. And so we do get some people from Washington. We get people from we're getting a lot of interest from Arkansas, New York, Florida,
mm-hmm.
To breed to them. Mm-hmm. And then and if we keep going, you know, Kentucky's talking to us about moving them to Kentucky.
Wow.
Now,
California, you know, this is your big chance.
Well, what's involved with doing that? Is it simply temporarily or shuttling him there or actually permanently moving somewhere else?
The it's another economics thing. In California, you're not going to get a giant fee. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, people are seeing the results of what his babies are doing. And if they can increase the fee, let's say to $20,000 or something like that, we can actually sell them and still maintain, let's say, a 25% ownership.
Okay.
And our return on the amount of money we receive from that is the same as we're getting here, right?
Hmm.
When we're doing 100%, it's $6,000 or
yeah.
$7,500. And so that's how it works.
Good to have a good product.
Plus you get some cash out, so
yeah.
you take some chips off the table.
I love it.
Now, what does Harris Farms do to, I don't want to say combat this, because obviously they don't want to lose Smiling Tiger, but I know you have a good relationship with them. They know they're business people just like anyone else. What can they do to twist your arm to say, don't listen to those people over there?
Well, let's put it this way. They are good business people. And we all are in the business to provide the highest value we can provide, mm-hmm. including John and their team. And he also has 10 breedings to Smiling Tiger. So if
he's got a personal interest.
He needs to increase it to 15, maybe.
Right?
No. He gets 10.
Oh,
but if it's 20,000, that's $200,000 a year he can sell them for.
Right.
And so I always set up everything so that everybody wins,
mm-hmm.
or not. You know, we're all taking the risk together. So
sure.
I want John to do great. And I want us to do great, and I want the guys in Kentucky to do great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Phil Lebert, so happy that you joined us this morning. Obviously, we enjoyed watching Smiling Tiger as a racehorse. We're enjoying watching what he's doing as far as in the breeding shed. And we're rooting for Spice Perfection to run a big, big race Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck. And for those of us in California, we hope he stays here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Escape to the beautiful island of Barbados. Its vibrant culture, exceptional cuisine, and a world of soft adventure. Explore the diversity and tranquility of the island, from horse racing and polo to diving and surfing, from fine dining to historical adventures. Trade the rush for the slow and easy. Come and experience all this island has to offer. Visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages. We look forward to welcoming you to the perfect paradise, Barbados.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with a racing feast Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with 7 stake races, headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. And remember to catch HRRN's special coverage of the Land of Enchantment Day Stakes live at 3 o'clock Eastern, November 27th on Sirius 219 and XM 201. For more information, go to ZiaParkCasino.com.
Racing at Mahoning Valley is off and running with racing 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, plus a special Friday card on November 29th after Thanksgiving. Monday, November 25th is highlighted by the $250,000 Steel Valley Sprint for three-year-olds at 6 furlongs and the $75,000 Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Valley Distaff. Post time 12:45 p.m. Learn more at HollywoodMahoningValley.com.
Denali Stud has made their mark selling Saturday afternoon horses. This year, Denali was the leading consigner by average at the prestigious Saratoga sale, with yearlings averaging $728,000, including $2 million horses and the co-sale topper. At Keeneland September, Denali sold 20 of 21 yearlings offered in Book 1 and was the fourth leading consigner overall. With 800 acres and a management team led by 2 Kentucky Farm Managers of the Year, it's easy to see why Denali Stud is selling Saturday afternoon horses.
This Breeders' Cup season, there are 125 reasons to sign up and bet the World Championships with ExpressBet. 125 cash reasons, that is. Sign up for an ExpressBet account today using promo code HRRN and get a $125 bonus when you bet just $500 within 30 days. That's $125 you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup, key prep races, or anything else that catches your eye. Plus, take advantage of ExpressBet's money-back guarantee on all 14 championship races. Simply bet your horse to win and get your cash back if they finish second or third. It's like finding free money. And for help handicapping the races, ExpressBet's famous free Breeders' Cup wager guide is available beginning Friday, October 25th. It's loaded with expert picks, stats, and trends for every Breeders' Cup race. What are you waiting for? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today. And don't forget to use promo code HRRN to earn your $125 sign-up bonus. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
The field turns for home, and it's Stormcat. Stormcat leads by 3/4 of a length. Scat Dancer surging on the outside. Regal Dreamer is racing in third. Mugambo and Tussle full of run on the outside. They're inside the funnel for long, and it is Stormcat who leads by 2.5 lengths. Tasso is full of run. They're running out of ground. Stormcat, Tasso, here's the wire, and it is too close to call. It's a photo finish. It can go either way. Was it Tasso? Was it Stormcat? I can't split them. The final time in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 1:36-1.
If announcer Tom Durkin couldn't split them, it was a very tight finish. That was the 1985 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I believe the only Breeders' Cup ever run at Aqueduct. Tasso getting up in the final jump, nailing Stormcat. Stormcat got his revenge when it came to the breeding shed, though. But Tasso got the money in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile that year for Lafitte Pincai Jr. and trainer Neil Drysdale. Back here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine. Pleased to be joined on set now by both trainer Dale Romans and Jason Luch, the manager of Albaugh Family Stables. They are the connections for Dennis's Moment, who figures to be the favorite in this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having us on. Exciting time.
Always good to be on my favorite radio show.
Well, we don't think that Dennis's Moment is going to have the same running style that Tasso did, coming from well out of it at the quarter pole to get up in the final jump. But he is certainly one of the more exciting things that we've got coming on in the next 2 days, and maybe the star of the show going into Future Stars Friday. He is the morning line favorite in this year's Juvenile. He drew the rail with jockey Irad Ortiz Jr., and with the exception of his first start, where he had a little misfortune right at the start and unseated the rider, he has been flawless, and these have got to be exciting times for you two guys.
Yeah, it's been, since the Iroquois, it's been a long 6 weeks. We've it's, you know, just thinking every day what's going on out here, and we're finally here and excited about that, and we just can't wait till tomorrow.
He was a $400,000 purchase in the Phasic sale in August of 2018. I mean, what did you see from there that you liked that said, hey, this horse could be the real deal?
You know, we've always wanted a Tiznow, and then when he came out of the stall, he was so athletic looking, and just, and he checked all the boxes for us as far as pedigree and confirmation and heart scan, so it was just a fit for us, and we're thankful that we ended up getting him.
It's unbelievable to me that, Dale, you are 0-8 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but year after year after year, and many of them your horses from the Albaugh family stable, we see these amazing horses come through. Free Drop Billy,
We've had some good runs in here, second and third. We haven't won one yet. You know, training a champion two-year-old has always been a major goal of mine.
Yeah.
And you have to win, and nowadays you have to win the Breeders' Cup just about to be champion, and hopefully we can come out here and crown one tomorrow.
So good with him. He has looked outstanding on the track throughout the week. I know I came back to the barn to say hey to you, but I did notice a bit change from the bit that you used before to now using a three-ring snaffle, which is a little bit stronger. Is that correct?
How many people picking that up? You're pretty sharp.
You know, it's 20 years of riding horses, so.
Right.
So but why the change?
Maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity. When he started getting more mature and learning what he was here for, he just has gotten stronger and stronger. But it's a controlled strength. It's not like a runoff that it's not. It's just so strong. And I want to keep Tammy on him for as long as she can hold him. So we instead of changing riders, we did a bit change.
Uh-huh.
I like the lightweight and her getting on him. She knows him so well. And it's made a big difference. He's been able to handle him well.
Absolutely.
This is a horse who's shown a lot of natural speed, both in the mornings and in the afternoons, but he proved last time out in the Iroquois he doesn't have to have the lead early on to win. He drew the inside, Irad Ortiz Jr., who, if not the top rider in the country, is certainly one of the top riders back aboard. It looks like his main rival would be another speed horse in Eight Rings for Bob Baffert, but obviously you're inside of him. How much strategy do you discuss with Irad? Is this where you leave it up to him, or do you guys have an idea of where you want to be right away?
Well, we're going to have a strategy. But I like all my riders to know once the gate opens, strategy can go out the door because they've ridden a whole lot more races than me. You're making split-second decisions. Last thing we want them is sitting around thinking, am I doing the right thing? Pat Day taught me a long time ago how much better he was when you left him alone. He rode with his gut, and he could react to situations without thinking about them. And so that's been my theory on riders. Dennis, he laughs at me sometimes because we'll talk about the weather more than we talk about what's going to happen in the race in the paddock with these jockeys. but like you said, from the one hole, we definitely want to give him a chance the first 100 yards, see where he is. And, you know, one hole's fine if you break clean. It's just a little tough if you don't. I think he's going to break just fine. It may put a little more importance on getting out of there clean and coming into the first turn running, but he'll come away from there fast.
Mike Tyson, the boxer, famously once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Exactly. Listen, and when you're talking a length is a fifth of a second. So you take a fifth of a second, and if you have to sit there and think, then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Pat told me when he rode all my horses when I was young, and, of course, I was smart enough not to give him instructions anyway. He always told me the good ones don't need them and the bad ones can't follow them. So with him, though, he said if you leave him alone, felt like he lived a fraction of a second ahead of everybody in life when he was in a race, and he just went with his gut. He said he would head to holes that weren't there and they would open up, and he didn't know why, but it was just instinct, and you don't want to ever take that instinct away from him.
Certainly so. Let's talk about the name for a minute. You guys have had some great names from the Albaugh family stables. Where does the name Dennis's Moment come
from? That's a pretty easy one. So after we bought him, we sent him to Barry Berkelheimer down at Abracadabra Farm, obviously, and we got some information that he might be a special horse, and me and my cousin named the horses in the spring, and so after we got him to Churchill, I told Dennis that we named my father-in-law, owner of the stable, said that we named the horse after you again, and his first question, is he a good one? I said, well, I sure hope so.
All our jobs would have been on the line.
Right? It's kind of a build-up, though, because, I mean, take us through the past couple of years. So you've got this horse, you named him Dennis's Moment, and you're certainly hoping it is the moment. Last year, was that last year with Not This Time, or 2 years ago?
2 years ago here.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So what's the name, the meaning behind that name?
Well, we sold his brother Liam's map.
Right.
And we weren't
going to
do that again, so
yep.
It's not this time.
So you're hoping then.
Yeah.
So now we're hoping it is the time. It is the moment. Dennis's moment coming
exactly.
out of the one hole.
And he's been having so much fun with that, and his friends and family and back home. It's been special for our family, and we're excited.
I would say for most people it's added pressure for a horse like that, but, I mean, with these good horses on Breeders' Cup weekend, whether you're talking about McKenzie or talking about Dennis's Moment, I mean, he's certainly lived up to the expectations that you guys have had for him.
You know one of the good things? Everybody I ran into named Dennis loves this horse and has a story about their moment.
Hey.
So.
And they probably want
it.
They probably want one of the hats.
Yeah, they all want a hat. They all want a hat. So we'll let them all claim him.
Gonna have to order some extras.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking with Dale Romans and Jason Luch, the trainer and manager of Albaugh Family Stables, respectively, connections of number one Dennis's Moment, who is the morning line favorite in this year's TBG Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the race 9 on Future Stars Friday tomorrow here at Santa Anita. It'll be the first time that Dennis's Moment has actually raced outside the state of Kentucky. He looks like he works well every time you send him to the track. How have things been shipping here and in the new scenery?
Yeah, right when we got done with the Iroquois, Dale and I sat down and talked, and our goal was to get him out here as early as possible. So we got on the first plane out here. We thought it was very important for him to get on the track and train for about 2 weeks. Have a work over the track we think would be very beneficial for him. And so he's adapted very well. I think he couldn't be doing any better. We just need a little racing luck tomorrow.
All week long, we've been talking about juveniles and what goes into making a juvenile champion. What is it about him mentally that really sets him apart from the rest?
He's strongest mental horse I've ever been around. It's unbelievable. He's so smart. I've been saying in every interview I do that it's not just on the racetrack what we see. It's when you go back to the barn, when you see him walking to the track and walking back, and you see things going on around him, and it doesn't even faze him. He doesn't care. It's like he just knows he's all about business. I've never had a more kind colt either. Mm. He's just lovable, and anybody can come and love on him. And he's just wicked smart. You know when you're in his presence that you're in the presence of greatness.
Of something great. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it really seems like you guys are the heavy, heavy favorites in there. Any concerns about any of the other horses? I mean, Scabbard was coming for you, had a bad trip last time. When you look at the race strategy-wise and contender-wise, how does it shape up for you?
Really, I'm only concerned about seven others, I think, in there.
In the eight-horse field.
Yeah, I think they're more concerned with you than with them.
And that's a good position to be in, but it's also, when everybody's shooting at you, it's a little different type of pressure. Yeah. We feel like it's our race to lose, and it does put you under a little bit of different pressure. This is a horse, in my opinion, second's not good enough.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of them. It's a great horse. Mm-hmm. That's Scabbard. I love Scabbard.
Yeah.
And then you can go deep. You can figure out a reason. Everybody, you know, people don't put up this kind of money and come run this kind of race if they don't think their horse is
absolutely
truly talented.
Well, lucky for you, this is tied as one of the smallest juvenile fields in Breeders' Cup history. Actually, that was with eight, so I think it is the smallest field in juvenile history. So you only have a few horses to beat.
There you go. Well, yeah. Tell me about it. We'll see tomorrow night. It'll all. I can't believe it's already upon us. It's here.
Yeah.
Now, how many other horses do you guys have aside from this?
We have about 60 horses in our stable, from mares to yearlings to 2-year-olds. All of our racing horses go with Dale Romans, and we have some. We live locally in Iowa with Prairie Meadows. So we have some with Kelly Von Himmel also.
We've got a really good team of people that all work together and work well together, and the horses go where they belong. They run where they belong.
And yeah.
And it's worked out well. We all work together on the purchasing. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's Dennis and Jason that have the final say on everything. But I've never worked with people that listen to your input and care about what you think or have to say more than this group does.
A great, great team effort. And also great credit to Not This Time as well for selecting him, for racing him, for training him. Because even as a stallion already, getting to look at some of his yearlings this year in Kentucky, they were breathtaking.
Yeah, we're real excited about that next year. I think that all his babies will be running. We can't wait. It's going to be – we kept a lot of them, so we're excited.
Well, hopefully we're still talking about the prodigy of Dennis's moment as well as a 2-year-old champion and then some.
There you go. By the way, I like watching your stallion's foals run.
Yeah.
When you get a horse like this, which – you don't normally get a horse that's as exciting as Dennis's moment. Does it make you want to be more active at sales going forward?
Well, it's going to be tough to repeat, obviously. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, we went to three or four straight Breeders' Cup, and last year we didn't go, and it just drove us more and more that we got to find the next one, because you hate missing out on stuff like this. It's so exciting. And we went to the Derby 3 years in a row. We didn't get to go last year. And once you get that in your blood, it's hard to get out. I'm telling you, you just do everything you can and work hard at the sales and try to find the next one.
They weren't as easy giving you seats or a box at Churchill Downs didn't have one actually in the race.
I thought Mr. Churchill could do anything, but he let us down.
Yeah, they forget your name real fast when you don't have one running.
What can you do for me that day when Derby day?
Well, speaking of Mr. Churchill, we certainly hope that Dennis's moment, of course, wins this race. And then looking forward into the 3-year-old year, I mean, I know we got to get through this first.
We'll start talking about that Friday night.
Right? Friday night, we're going to – I'm going to find you.
All right. We'll put a plan together. We're excited.
Well, guys, we wish you nothing but the best. And obviously, Dennis's moment, a lot of people think if he isn't already a superstar, he is a superstar in the making. And we're really hoping that he gets to strut his stuff tomorrow and show everyone out here in California what you guys have already seen.
So much credit to you guys.
In Kentucky.
Thank you very much.
He's really exciting. And one of the reasons that we're in this game as fans is that, you know, we get to see horses like this and who knows where it's going to lead him. Dale Romans, Jason Luch, thank you so much. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks for all you guys do.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Very nice to see you.
And back here now on Breeders' Cup Countdown 2019, Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine. Megan, we've had some tremendous guests already, still another hour yet to come. Dennis's moment, I don't think we're overplaying how exciting this horse can be, not only just tomorrow, but down the line.
I mean, and certainly, you know, you don't want to jinx anybody. You don't want to overhype a horse. But truly, I do think that this is a valid, valid favorite in here.
I'm really looking forward to it. I was hoping to see Maxfield in the race because I think he's a horse with a lot of potential as well. I know that Brendan Walsh and their team are going to do right by him, and we're going to see him as a 3-year-old. But when we get to tomorrow, Dennis's moment, 8-5 on the morning line. You and I both think it's going to be closer to 3-5, I would say. I think you think it's going to be even lower than that.
But
the Bob Baffert Train 8 rings.
Yeah.
Has done very little wrong as well, other than the one time that he chucked the jockey.
I know.
As we were
And it's just, and from a Bob Baffert, I mean, I am his trust me, I'm his biggest fan, and I believe in him so much for any type of a horse that he can get to a race. But I just can't stress enough. I know I've said it all week long, but as a handicapper myself and as a rider, the mental game with these juveniles is the key. And just hearing from Dale, you know, proving what we've already kind of suspected with Dennis's moment, that he is mentally so ready, so mature, where you have a horse like Eight Rings, and you know, he still kind of has some tricks up his sleeve. You have to think on that day, the horse, the man, is going to show up, and I think it's Dennis's moment.
And I think from what we got from them, first of all, if they're nervous, they don't seem nervous.
No.
And I think that if everything goes equal out of the gate, they're out and gone.
Yeah.
That they think we're taking the lead, and if any of these horses like Eight Rings or whatever want to try to run with us, good luck to them.
Right.
And if anyone thinks they're going to close, good luck to them. But we're going to be in front away, and when they come to the top of the stretch, they're going to have to try to catch us with. So far, nobody's been able to pass Dennis's moment. We'll see if that's how it works out late tomorrow. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Twin Spires is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Place legal wagers and watch live horse racing on any device. New players download now to start your $100 sign-up bonus. With the Twin Spires app, you can bet the Breeders' Cup.
Oaklawn Racing Casino Resort in Hot Springs, Arkansas begins its legendary thoroughbred racing season Friday, January 24th. Over $600,000 in average daily purses. Maiden special weights start at $85,000 and open allowance races start at $90,000. Plus, four $1 million stakes among a rich 33-race stakes schedule. Stall application deadline is November 7th. Plan now to be a part of Oaklawn's richest season ever. Oaklawn, a new level of racing, a new level of winning.
Mark your calendar for the Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National on Wednesday, November 27th. The card features three outstanding stakes races, the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes, the $100,000 Swatara Stakes, and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Futurity. Plus, there's a special $3,500 holiday cash giveaway. First post is 6 p.m. Eastern, with the stakes included in the early pick four, comprised of races 1-4. Go to hcpn.com for details and rules.
Is it burning within you? A desire to own racehorses, to head to the winner's circle like you were floating on air? Do it right. Do it with West Point Thoroughbreds. By owning pieces of multiple horses, you increase your chances of winning. West Point partnerships, all the thrills, a fraction of the bills. And the lifestyle? One that only the sport of kings can offer. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Go online today at westpointtv.com.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with the Racing Feast, Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with seven stakes races, headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. Free nominations for all the Land of Enchantment Day stakes close November 15th. For more information, call 575-492-7086 or go to ziaparkcasino.com.
Smiling Tiger, the number one ranked stallion in California, is represented by two contenders in this year's Breeders' Cup. Multiple Grade 1 winner Spice Perfection and exciting two-year-old El Tigre Terrible. For a limited time, you can breed to California's leading sire for a special discounted rate of just $6,000 if you book your mare by November 3rd. So don't delay. Take advantage of this special offer on nationally ranked Smiling Tiger, Grade 1 winner, Grade 1 sire, standing at Harris Farms. For more information, go to SmilingTigerStallion.com.
Twin Spires is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Place legal wagers and watch live horse racing on any device. New players download now to start your $100 sign-up bonus. With the Twin Spires app, you can bet the Breeders' Cup.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
In the wings is right there. Alwahush is fourth. El Senor swings wide for the stretch drive. Somerez is six lengths out of it. And French Glory, they're coming to the final furlong. And with approval, an all-out drive. And the oncoming in the wing surges. El Senor is closing late. 50 yards from the wire. In the wings forges to the lead. With approval, cannot stay with In the Wings, and Gary Stevens, a flawless ride to win it with the
Approval was second. El Senor is third. He was off a beat slow, and steadily he threaded his way through this field of 11 in the Breeders' Cup turf, and with a perfectly timed move, in the wings with it, and a great ride by Gary Stevens.
A great ride indeed. Tom Durkin on the call of the 1990 Breeders' Cup turf held at Belmont Park. Gary Stevens aboard the Andre Faub trainee in the wings, who got up to beat both With Approval and El Senor. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown 2019, live from Clocker's Corner at the top of the stretch here at beautiful Santa Anita Park. I'm Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine. So pleased to be joined on set now by Max Pimlott of the International Racing Bureau, who hopefully will give us a little bit of help with all of these European shippers who have descended upon Santa Anita for these perfect conditions on Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday. Max, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. How are you getting on?
We are getting on great. How do you like the weather we have here in Southern California?
It's a bit different to being at home at this time of the year. It'd be pouring rain and it'd be freezing. Well, to be fair, it's cold enough on the start of the morning when we're here doing track work from possibly 6 to late, but after that it's just fantastic. And yeah, we're very, very lucky to be here anyway.
Does that make it easier, do you think, for the European horses to ship in, that it's not so oppressively hot in the morning?
Yeah, 100%. It's not as if you're going to Dubai where it's, you know, really, really hot and it takes a while to acclimatise here. Obviously, in the mornings at this, you know, when it's not completely warmed up, it's just like training at home. So, and then obviously in the afternoons, it's good for them to get a bit of sun on the back. So in terms of coming here at this time of year for our horses, it's absolutely fine. And they quickly get into the routine, you know.
Mm-hmm. With the huge differences right now, the Breeders' Cup now as compared to when they first kicked off in 1984, there were only 7 races back then. There were only 2 turf races, the mile and the mile and a half. Nothing dedicated just to the fillies. There were no juvenile turf races back then. Now it seems like half of the races are turf races, and we're seeing so many more shippers from across the pond. And even though we have access to the video through the TVG and Sky Sports, still a lot of handicapping to be done. How do you see them coming to a place like this where there really hasn't been any rain? It's going to be a very firm turf course. A lot of the horses have been running on much softer ground in Europe, and transferring that form to really what seems like completely different situation here.
Yeah, obviously the turf is going to be quick, but again, this time of the year, when you come, there's a lot of dew in the ground on the morning, so there is moisture getting in there. You know, there's obviously not a lot, but there is enough. And the thing with our trainers, they're not going to bring horses here, you know, who need real soft ground, because, you know, they're going to bring the right horses for this track. They know what the ground's going to be. So they obviously think that they'll get away with it, or, you know, I can't see it being too much of an issue. Obviously, our European horses with the dirt is completely different because we're running on synthetic surfaces. So that's why we don't tend to have many runners on the dirt, just purely because we don't have the right sort of horses for the surface. But in terms of the turf, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. There aren't many who are genuine soft ground horses, because they wouldn't be here otherwise if that was the case, you know.
Certainly, there are so many international horses in here. Who are some of the big storylines that we should look forward to?
Yeah, it's a bit different this year. We don't have any superstars, I don't think. Last year, obviously, we had Nabel, and
right,
the media and the press. Well, every time she came out of the stable, she was absolutely mobbed, and John Gosden was mobbed and things like that.
Deservedly so, though.
Exactly, yeah. 100%.
She was not a disappointment.
No, and she came and she did the business, and obviously it's a huge shame that Magical's not here this year, pulling out at the last minute. But, yeah, we don't have anyone in the same, you know, same
stratosphere
as an Enable, that's it. But look, at the end of the day, we've got an English Derby winner in Anthony Van Dyke, and we've got Blisden Brook, who's a classic winner, mm-hmm, winning the 1,000 guineas last year, you know, and she's going to win a Group 1 recently. So we're actually a bit spoiling. It's not ideal, really, saying we don't have any superstars when we've got those sort of quality horses.
Well, if they're here,
you know,
they're a superstar.
Well,
certainly.
Exactly. But there aren't any huge standouts, I don't think. Most of them are entitled to be here. They're top-notch performers back home. But I think we're just probably lacking that top notcher.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a few that could be superstars, and especially looking at some of the two-year-olds
yeah.
that are shipping from Europe that will be racing here tomorrow. For instance, taking a look at the eighth race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, Daye, it looks like a very exciting filly here for Roger Varian and William Buick. She's never been worse than second in five career tries, including
right.
a win in the Group 2 Shadwell Rockville last time out at Newmarket. 5-1 on the morning. I think she may end up being the favorite in the race. And looking at her replays, she looks like a very serious filly.
100%, and she's definitely one of our best chances of the whole 2 days. She's done not much wrong at home. She's travelled great. Roger's delighted with her. So everything in her preparation has been fantastic. And it with these young horses, some of them don't travel great. But she's taken it really, really well. She looks fantastic. Everyone's delighted with her, so I could not put anyone off her. I think she's definitely one of our main chances, and she's well drawn in five.
I saw Ali actually on the turf just kind of stretching her legs this morning, and Ali looked fantastic. I don't know, chasing, going against the American sprint speed, how Ali will do and drawing post 10 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, the first of the Breeders' Cup races tomorrow, but he couldn't have looked much better. Who were some of the other ones in here that really catch your eye, or something you as a handicapper you'd want to look at or at least use in your wagers?
I do think of the juveniles, Roger Varian's filly is the best which we've got and our biggest chance. You've got the likes of Living in the Past and Shaden and Aidens, obviously, who again are entitled here, the genuine top-notch performers, but I just think that Daye, she could be very, very special. Looking later on in the card in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, again, with Mob Handed in there, we've got Band Practice for Archie Watson, again, a big improver.
Looked great.
Yeah,
out on the
really
track.
Good.
That
really
horse
good.
Actually caught my eye the other day because the name, I mean, trust me, I've handicapped, but like.
You're being a band.
Well, no, I haven't been in a band, you know, with this voice, I shouldn't be saying no. But I really was very impressed by that horse. Did a double take, you know?
Yeah. And to be fair to Archie Watson, who trains it, he's only a young guy, and mm-hmm. He's taken his time with this horse, starting it at the low key tracks and gradually building up. I know he thinks a lot of it. Again, it's going to have to be the top of the A game. But looking down in that race, you've got Dreamshot, done nothing wrong. Alligator Alley for Joseph O'Brien, Dr. Simpson, King Neptune for Aidan. We've got big chances in there.
Mm-hmm.
But picking them out, you better just go with the name you like.
I mean,
like you like. You'll be on the band practice.
Right,
that's yours.
Well, I'm a little bit more studied than that for a handicapper. But on Saturday, too, I mean, the talent continues there. I think one of the most interesting races is, of course, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, and then also with the turf in general. But, I mean, everybody has to try to look around a horse like Sister Charlie for Chad Brown. That's obviously who we're talking about here. I thought Fleeting looked excellent on the track earlier.
Yep.
But, I mean, what are some of your thoughts on the horses that are going to try to beat the Chad Brown?
Yeah, to be fair, I actually hope Sister Charlie will win because I had a few quid on her in the week. So I hope Sister Charlie does the business, to be honest.
What price did you get on her?
I think about 3-1.
Wow.
Back home. It's now even money with
and
us.
And how do we open an account with that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the problem is now
would have had to be weeks ago.
Yeah.
Months ago, probably.
Well, now I've had a few quid on. She'll probably get tailed, but anyway, we'll I hope she wins. But in there, again, Billisted Brook, who we were talking about earlier. Sean Levy, he rode her this morning, delighted with her. You've got Fanny Logan. She's, again, been running in listed races and been winning them comfortably. It's going to be a step up for her. She needs to up her game, but she looks brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely one of the picks of our horses, looks-wise, I think. But to be honest, that's typical John Gosden, all of his look and absolute picture. But there was a good one yesterday. One of the Outback riders said to John Gosden, "Hey, John, how many horses you got here?" He said, "Oh, I've only got one this year because I'm running out of ammunition." So, and that's after how many Group 1 winners he's had over Europe this year. So, good man, John. So.
I have a good John Gosden story, actually. He raced here in Southern California back in the 80s and was he had a powerful stable. Zoffany was one of his big runners, and he was uber talented and just had a lot of success. And back in around 1986, John Sadler had a very fast filly named Melair, who ended up retiring undefeated. And at the time Melair ran, John Sadler had 20 wins at the Hollywood Park meet, trailing only John Gosden, who had 23 wins. And he was asked by a reporter, John Sadler was asked, what is it going to take for you to catch John Gosden? He says, I think they're going to have to blow up the turf course.
Yeah. He's again, he loves this event, and he'll always support it. It's just, with it being this time of year, a lot of our horses have done the running for the year, so you're just trying to bring horses which are still going and still are going to come and perform. So, again, that's just how John Gosden is. He wouldn't bring anything here just for the trip. Charlie Appleby's exactly the same with Old Persian. Again, he's had Breeders' Cup winners now, and he was saying yesterday, look, we haven't just come here for the jolly, we're here to be competitive. That's why we go around the world, to win these races, not just to turn up and get the free jacket. So,
wait a minute, they're giving away free jackets?
Exactly, I haven't seen one yet, but yeah. Charlie must have been offered a few for coming. But Old Persian, again, he's going to have a great chance, and Will Buick, he rode him this morning, and he's delighted. So fingers crossed for Old Persian. He must be one of our leading chances as well with Circus Maximus in the mile.
One last one I was curious about was the French filly Villa Marina, who very impressive in the Prix de l'Opera last time out at Longchamp. She's never raced outside of France, and a lot of her racing has come on what looks like much softer going. How do you view her coming into the filly and mare turf?
Yeah, well, the thing is, this year we're a bit light with the French runners. We usually have more. We've only got a couple this year. But again, she's done nothing wrong, and she's improving. And again, I keep saying it, these horses are here for a reason. They're not just here to turn up. Obviously, in France, to be honest, with their going descriptions, they always call it softer than what it actually is. So I just take that with half a pinch of salt. When they're calling it very soft, it's, you know, it's not very soft. It's more towards good to soft. So that's one for the punters there.
Well, Max, we certainly appreciate you helping us out, especially with these horses from across the pond. And we love talking to somebody who's not afraid to put their money down.
Yeah. Well, Sister Charlie, that's the one I need, so that's no use. But if I was, for the European horses, I think Circus Maximus in the mile. Let's go for, at a big price for a place, maybe Fanny Logan. She's got to improve. And Daya on Friday is the nap of the day for Friday. So fingers crossed we have a bit of luck.
Well, everything that you're saying certainly sounds good there, Max. But for our listeners out there, just describe your background and kind of where you come from.
Yeah, so my dad was a jump jockey back home. So obviously the listeners can't see me, but I'm a bit bigger than a jockey would be.
Not too much bigger. Just to clarify.
So he was a jump jockey. He rode a few hundred winners over back home. And so I've always been around race horses and racing whatever, and I started doing this job 4 years ago, so I go around the world with these horses, which is pretty good.
Excellent.
So I've always been in racing, and yeah, hopefully we keep going. So we my brother, he trains a few horses now back home. So yeah, it's all racing really.
Yeah,
so we still don't have much of an idea, but we keep trying.
Well, let's also give the listeners your phone number and email address in case you're...
Well, I've got the number's 911.
In case your advice goes a little sideways.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, I'll be straight out of Santanese for them. Maybe just go straight home.
They can probably find you on
exactly,
Twitter.
Exactly, yeah. They can, yeah, follow me on Twitter.
Max Pimlott from the International Racing Bureau. So happy you joined us this morning. Best of luck the next few days. Enjoy this beautiful Southern California weather we've got right now. And look to see you at the windows.
For sure, and thanks for having me on. Best of luck.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Athena Spring Stallion, Ghost Zapper. The consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty, one and a head and eight thrillers.
Santa Anita handicap winner, Shaman Ghost,
an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire
score.
In 2019, GoSapper is the sire of double-digit stakes winners for the seventh straight year, and his current stars include Del Mar Futurity winner Nucky and three-year-old Philly sensation Guarana.
On to another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant, GoSapper, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Curlin, the leading yearling sire by average. The sire of a $4.1 million sales topping colt in September, a $1.5 million Saratoga sales topper, and a $3.65 million Gulfstream sales topper. In 2019, Curlin is the sire of 10 greatest stakes winners with progeny earnings of more than $10 million. The number one sire of million-dollar sale yearlings. Curlin, standing at Hillendale.
Get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday with the Racing Feast, Wednesday, November 27th, featuring the $1 million Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park with seven stakes races. Headlined by the $250,000 Zia Park Derby and the $250,000 Zia Park Oaks. Free nominations for all the Land of Enchantment Day stakes close November 15th. For more information, call 575-492-7086 or go to ziaparkcasino.com.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Then El Tormenta as they come for the home stretch in the Rico Woodbine Mile. Luke Cullen is in the clear down the outside, Emmaus up the rails. They're all across the track, and El Tormenta coming through. God Storm is in front to second El Tormenta. Luke Cullen is there. Raging Bull starting to build a run late. In the lead is God Stormy the filly, but El Tormenta up the inside, stride to stride. And then came Luke Cullen and Raging Bull. El Tormenta on the inside in front. And El Tormenta has won the Rico Woodbine Mile from God Stormy, Luke Cullen, Raging Bull, and Synchrony. 132.60.
Fast time on a turf course labeled good in the Rico Woodbine Mile, won by El Tormenta under Eureka Rosa da Silva. Got Stormy, who may end up being the favorite in this year's Breeders' Cup Mile, going to try to turn the tables on El Tormenta. They were 1-2 in the Rico Woodbine Mile. And what's even more intriguing is that after they run in the Breeders' Cup Mile this Saturday, you can buy them at Fasig Tiptonsdale on November 5th. As of now, They are both still in the sale. Just a tremendous November sale of select breeding stock on November 5th at Fasig Tipton.
Well, and all of these horses, even to get to this point and to be consigned for that type of a sale, I mean, you have to have great credentials to even be considered for that anyways, especially some of these top names. But the performances on Friday and Saturday will certainly make a difference price-wise, I'm sure attention-wise for many of these horses at the barn, too. Some of them looking to make history. Got Stormy, of course, and quite a few others, Elate in the distaff. So it is going to be – I wish I wasn't moving that week because then I would be there. But unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, so I'll have to watch the broadcast.
Bobby Newman and Megan Devine live from Clocker's Corner, top of the stretch at Santa Anita Park on the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. And we got to speak with trainer Mark Cassie yesterday. He was talking about God Stormy and saying that there's actually a chance, even though as of right now she is supposed to go into that November sale on November 5th, that owner Gary Barber is so excited about what God Stormy is doing these days that he may maybe pull her out of the sale and may want to run her again next year. And for those of us that are racing fans that always complain that we don't get to see enough of our stars, to have a filly stay in training for another year or another portion of a year, I know I would be all for it. And obviously they're going to do what's best for her. If she's not dead fit coming out of the race this Saturday and in good spirits, they're not going to do that. But at least there's a chance that we're going to get to see her.
Well, from a fan perspective, I mean, more time on the track. You think of a horse like Zenyatta, who was around for a while, like Winx in Australia. You know, she raced until she was 7 years old. These horses are able to garner more of a following, more fans, and it's great for horse racing in general. Of course, it's great for the owners as well if they can continue that success. I mean, I don't know how Jeff Bloom and them are going to let go of Midnight Bizou if she does continue to race to see her come down the line and, you know, and possibly she's not in your colors. I'm heartbroken for them. I don't own a piece of the horse, but, you know, her being in the sale, I think, would be certainly tough to part with, as are many of these horses. But the performances will certainly could change some things, whether they decide to keep them in the sale and, like we said, the price of them as well.
A phenomenal list of horses as of now set to go in the November sale at Fayzid. Tipton, Bast, Bellafina, Comical, Dennis's Moment, mm-hmm. as of right now, although speaking to Dale Romans and Mr. Luch, I think there's a chance that they may change their mind mm-hmm. and pull him out. But a late El Tormenta, Eight Rings, who's
think
one
Bill
of the,
Belichick's going to...
it's just a who's who. And for those of you who are not normally into what goes on in the sale, this is a different kind of a sale and something where you're going to see a lot of horses that are really household names go for a lot of money. And Midnight Bizou, certainly the belle of the ball, and she may fetch the most.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Mattoli is also in there, who I think is really excellent. I think his chances are fantastic to win his race, and even the fact that he's a horse. I mean, you could continue to race this horse. You could send him to stud. I think he would do very well at that, too. Well, he certainly will go to stud at some point, but, you know, to have a piece of the horse to own him would be, you just make hand over fist continuing with your earnings there.
It's the November sale of select breeding stock on November the 5th. At Fayzid Tipton, and you can find out more information online. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Mucho Macho Man Week on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Come out to Gulfstream Park on Friday, November 29th for the kickoff of the championship meet. Enjoy the heart-pounding excitement of live thoroughbred horse racing showcasing some of the best jockeys and horses in the world. Be one of the first to experience the all-new outdoor dining terraces or have brunch while viewing the racing at Ten Palms. Make sure to come early to get your free 2020 Gulfstream Park wall calendar while supplies last. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details and a full schedule.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and Historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Elite Sales is the number one consigner of horses of racing age and broodmare prospects. Their consignment at the Fayzid Tipton Night of Stars sale includes 5 individual Grade 1 winners, 5-time Grade 1 winner Midnight Bizou, Separation of Powers, Mia Mischief, Secret Spice, and Wildcat. At Kingland November, Elite Sales is offering 2-time Grade 1 winner Spice Perfection, Grade 3 winner and Grade 1 placed Elysia's World, and Grade 2 winner Grade 1 placed Rimska in Book 1. Learn more at EliteRaceSales.com.
Do you watch races like the Kentucky Derby and wonder what it would be like to be in with a chance? With a live runner on horse racing's biggest stages, West Point Thoroughbreds can get you there. You can play in a big way right away. We've been doing it for 28 years. The Derby? Been there. Won that. Go online at westpointtb.com. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his 4 starts by a combined 20 lengths. A 6-figure September sale purchase, he won impressively in his 2-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At 3, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe. Now his much-anticipated first crop has arrived. Mastery, standing at Claiborne Farm.
One book, one session, one spectacular evening. On November 5th, the stars will align at Fayzid Tipton. featuring a catalog of top race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. A night of stars with over 60 graded stakes winners or producers and no less than 24 grade one winners, champions, or producers. No Sale offers a higher concentration of quality anywhere in the world. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 5th in Lexington, Kentucky. Where will you be?
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
At the top of the lane, Mucho Macho Man, Palace Malice will take charge for granted. And here comes Declaration of War in the green cap. Mucho Macho Man is full out now. On the outside, Declaration of War will take charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will take charge a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave. Will take charge was right there, as was Declaration of War in a classic Breeders' Cup classic.
Trevor Denman was right. It was close, but in the end, it was Mucho Macho Man victorious in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic right here at Santa Anita Park. This is Mucho Macho Man week, as it turns out, on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And I'm Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown live from Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita Park. And so pleased to be joined now by the owner of Mucho Macho Man and part owner of one of this year's Breeders' Cup contenders, channel maker, Dean Reeves. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm sure listening to that called never gets old.
Never gets old, and it's amazing. It still runs a chill up my spine every time.
Yep, I remember that year here at Santa Anita Park, and the mountains were purple. Purple Mountains Majesty, I think, described the backdrop of the race best, and he was so fantastic that year, Gary Stevens being aboard. I mean, what a storybook ending for that race.
It was. It just had so many storybook, as you say,
right,
parts to it, with Kathy and mm-hmm. Gary getting the ride and the whole deal. So it was an amazing and an exciting day.
Mm-hmm. Mucho Macho Man winning the Breeders' Cup Classic, also the Grade One Awesome Again. He won the Grade Two Suburban, the Gulfstream Park Handicap, the Risen Star. But this is a horse that started, actually, and I'm very happy to say this, at Calder Racecourse, because I got to call him when he first started, and he was purchased privately. How did you end up finding Mucho Macho Man and acquiring him?
That's a story in itself. Tim Ritvo called me right after that race and said we had an opportunity to buy the winner in that race, which was Gourmet Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, watch the race. I said, okay. So I did, and I called him back, and I said, Tim, call me crazy, but I like the second-place horse. And he said, you did? And he said, let me watch it again. So he called me back after he watched the race again. He said, you know, you might be right. So he said, I know the trainer, Tim did, and we contacted those folks and were able to make a deal at that point in time to buy 70% of the horse, and that's how we ended up with Mucho Macho Man.
And that's interesting. Bill White was the trainer of the horse, and
yes.
I think Live Oak. Was Live Oak the owner of the horse?
No, it was a syndicate.
Okay.
They at the time wanted to go ahead and stay in, so they stayed in for 30%, and we eventually bought the entire horse. But they were a part of him through the Kentucky Derby and some of that, so it was great. It was a win-win.
They knew what they were doing.
They
knew to stay in.
They did.
Well, that's very exciting. Well, now, that was a few years ago. Now you're back here at the Breeders' Cup again, this time with Channel Maker. You're a part owner in Channel Maker, who is 10-1 on the morning line in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf. Trainer Bill Mott, John Velasquez aboard this Son of English Channel, coming off a good second-place finish last time out in the Grade 1 Turf Classic at Belmont, shipping out to Southern California for this first time. How's Channel Maker doing, and what are you looking for from him?
You know, he's kind of horse. He comes to run every time. I mean, he's tough. He's in these turf races, you can run a great number, finish fifth, and you only get beat a half a length.
Right.
And so that's he's right there. So if we get the right trip, Johnny did a great job with him in New York on that last race. And, you know, I think we have as good a shot as anybody.
certainly seems like he just absolutely loves this type of a distance. I mean, he's four in the top two out of seven races at it. How much does that help? That, I mean, he's kind of a specialist type of horse.
He is, and he ran well out here. I'm not crazy about our post position.
Yeah.
I don't know how we keep drawing the outside like that.
You couldn't talk to Tim Ritvo about that?
Yeah, I wanted a do-over, you know, but we couldn't work that out. So, anyway, you just have to overcome those things. But this is a horse I actually think he's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look for us to be right in the mix. As they say, when we're turning for home, we're going to think we're going to win. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Johnny got the ride last time he finished that good second, like you mentioned. He stays aboard today. I mean, Johnny Velasquez, just speak to his credit as a rider and how well he got along with your horse last time.
He did. He did a great job with him, got along well. This is not an easy horse to ride.
Mm-hmm. And, how so?
Because he wants to go, he can be a little rank, and okay. You have to. There's a fine line there between getting out and going, but saving enough in a mile and a half
right.
to still have some horse left. Because he'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny did a good job of letting him get to a position, settle in, and you know, he fought hard down the straightaway. We got beat by Arklo, who's another nice horse, and as I say, these turf races. You don't get beat by much,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of how the ride turns out and how the horse is coming home.
Yeah, absolutely. Got those Hall of Fame hands. Helps.
Owning this horse in partnership with a few other partners, Gary Barber, one of them. I feel real bad for Gary Barber. He never has any good horses.
Oh, I'm telling you. Gary, my gosh, every time I watch a race, he's out there winning, and what a success he's had. He's to we're great friends with he and Adam. It's been a great partnership. A lot of fun to be with those guys, and we cheer them on. But they both, Adam and Gary, partner a lot on horses, and they've just done a tremendous job. And Gary's loaded.
This is a horse he's actually a gelding, mm-hmm. and he's five right now. Since he's a gelding, are there plans to run him again next year if everything goes well?
Oh,
on
yeah.
Saturday?
Yeah, we'll run him next year. So many opportunities to run him. There's that race in the Saudi Cup. They put a nice turf race out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may look at that, but we'll see what Bill thinks along the way. But we've got a lot of opportunities, and we'll run him next year for sure.
Another interesting aspect that you have going, we're speaking with Dean Reeves, who's the owner of Mucho Macho Man and part owner of Channel Maker, who's one of the sneaky ones in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf. Back in your home state of Georgia, I know that you have fervently been trying to get thoroughbred racing, I don't know if past is the right word, but going. Let's just say it that
right.
way. And for those of us who are big racing fans, we never think about Georgia when it comes to racing because there hasn't been a reason to think about Georgia thus far. But this is something that could be a reality down the line. Where are we or where are you in trying to get horse racing past and going in Georgia?
Well, we're working very hard at it. The Georgia Horse Racing Coalition has been at it strong for the last 6-7 years. We just this week, Tuesday, had a Senate hearing on parimutuel wagering. We had Senator Damon Thayer from Kentucky come speak, and he was fabulous, did mm-hmm. a great job. And we had several other speakers. Anna Ford was there talking about aftercare. So, all of that went a long way. I think that this year, of course, I had the governor and his wife was at the Kentucky Derby when Tax ran. We had the lieutenant governor at Keeneland 2 weeks ago, and just last week we had three or four senators come up from Georgia to get an idea of what is it all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you see Keeneland or Churchill Downs, you really get an idea. It's hard to explain to somebody what Keeneland's like. And I was encouraged when the lieutenant governor walked into Keeneland and went up. And saw the track, he said, wow. And to me, it just gave, that was like, you know, you have an imagination about it, but when you see it, mm-hmm. and it's so much more, it goes a long way. So we've had some great meetings. This is bringing an industry to the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
It is the number one industry in Kentucky, and I would have thought maybe bourbon was, you know, but it's horse racing.
Yeah.
And so what we have tried to show them is that it's just not pari-mutuel wagering at a track. This is going to create thousands and thousands of jobs. Mm-hmm. It's going to impact Middle and South Georgia. They need some economy down there. And there's nothing better than horse racing with all the ancillary items that go with it.
Right.
It creates a tremendous economic boon for the state.
And it's certainly the perfect location for it as well. My background is in the show jumpers. I mean, we're very prevalent in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Florida as well. So that whole area especially during the wintertime, but I mean at any time of the year, there is already a horse industry that exists there, and it seems to make a ton of sense that horse racing would go hand in hand and filling that spot where we as show jumpers have loved going for so long.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Georgia has got a tremendous population of horses and horse people.
Mm-hmm.
From a standard breeds and even thoroughbred racing, if we could get that there, it's a natural fit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
If everything went perfect to plan, what's next? What is the time frame of, you know, what comes next for Georgia? When does it get on a ballot? When is there a vote? Where would you be hopeful to maybe break ground, that kind of a thing?
At this session in 2020, we need to get it passed to have it on the ballot in 2020, constitutional amendment to have pari-mutuel wagering. So, you know, now is the optimizing the time to do it. And so if we get it passed at this session, it will be on the ballot in the November of next year, 2020. And if it passes, we will start breaking ground and get going immediately.
Amazing.
And do you have a location or a few locations picked out that would be prime for you?
We've not selected a site because, you know, look, until we get this thing on the ballot.
You don't want to put the cart before
the
horse,
yeah,
as it were.
Exactly. we'd be getting ahead of ourselves. But we will move very quickly, and we've got the thing lined up to go. I mean, we just hope that we get the opportunity to let Georgia, you know, do everything right about horse racing. We get an opportunity to look back and see what everybody's done right at different tracks, and we get to all put it together and have the finest facility in racing that you can have.
Racing as it's meant to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Dean, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we love having you on because not only all the success you've had in the game, but you're such a big fan of the game and what you're doing in Georgia. All I can say is I hope you leave passes at the gate for Megan and I when the track eventually opens.
Well, you got your race caller and your on-air analyst. So.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, we get horse racing there, it'll be a hard ticket to get because I think people will just flock to it. And, you know, again, we just hope we have a chance. Give us the chance to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate it. Best of luck in Georgia, and best of luck Saturday with Channelmaker in the Breeders' Cup
Fingers
turf.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Escape to the beautiful island of Barbados. Its vibrant culture, exceptional cuisine, and a world of soft adventure. Explore the diversity and tranquility of the island, from horse racing and polo to diving and surfing, from fine dining to historical adventures. Trade the rush for the slow and easy. Come and experience all this island has to offer. Visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages. We look forward to welcoming you to the perfect paradise, Barbados.
Racing at Mahoning Valley is off and running with racing 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, plus a special Friday card on November 29th after Thanksgiving. Monday, November 25th is highlighted by the $250,000 Steel Valley Sprint for three-year-olds at 6 furlongs and the $75,000 Hollywood Gaming Mahoning Valley Distaff. Post time 12:45 p.m. Learn more at HollywoodMahoningValley.com.
Denali Stud has made their mark selling Saturday afternoon horses. This year, Denali was the leading consigner by average at the prestigious Saratoga sale, with yearlings averaging $728,000, including $2 million horses and the co-sale topper. At Keeneland September, Denali sold 20 of 21 yearlings offered in Book 1 and was the fourth leading consigner overall. With 800 acres and a management team led by two Kentucky Farm Managers of the Year, it's easy to see why Denali Stud is selling Saturday afternoon horses.
This Breeders' Cup season, there are 125 reasons to sign up and bet the World Championships with ExpressBet. 125 cash reasons, that is. Sign up for an ExpressBet account today using promo code HRRN and get a $125 bonus when you bet just $500 within 30 days. That's $125 you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup, key prep races, or anything else that catches your eye. Plus, take advantage of ExpressBet's money-back guarantee on all 14 championship races. Simply bet your horse to win and get your cash back if they finish second or third. It's like finding free money. And for help handicapping the races, ExpressBet's famous free Breeders' Cup wager guide is available beginning Friday, October 25th. It's loaded with expert picks, stats, and trends for every Breeders' Cup race. What are you waiting for? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today. And don't forget to use promo code HRRN to earn your $125 sign-up bonus. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They are coming to the top of the lane, and Riveting Reason desperate to hold on, but Uncle Mo is breathing down his neck, and Uncle Mo is let loose, and look at him stride away. Uncle Mo, big leaping strides. He's opening up. Boys on Toscanova is second, but this is an overwhelming performance by Uncle Mo, the son of Indian Charlie. John Velasquez just got to point him in the right direction, takes a look back. Uncle Mo, superb in the juvenile. It'll be Boys at Toscanova in second. Road Romance finished up third, and Biondetti ran on fourth.
Great call by Trevor Demon of the 2010 Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill Downs, won by Uncle Mo. John Velasquez aboard for trainer Todd Pletcher. And as devastating as he was on the racetrack, maybe even better in the breeding shed, as he has turned out to be some sort of sire. Back here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, Bobby Newman joined by Megan Devine. And our special guest right now is Conrad Banderoff, the vice president of Denali Stud. They consigned Uncle Mo, as well as Animal Kingdom, Real Quiet, Royal Academy, Serena's Song. The list goes on and on. Conrad, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Great to be here.
Am I building you up enough here with listing the resume there?
Nice little honor call role there. But, no, look, we've been very fortunate to be associated with some great horses over our 30-year career in the commercial breeding and consigning world. And we like to say that we raise and produce and sell Saturday afternoon horses, and I think those that you mentioned would certainly qualify. So,
and for Breeders' Cup, it's Friday and Saturday afternoon horses.
When Denali started, it was just a Saturday afternoon, and it's evolved into Friday and Saturday afternoon. Now, how important is this weekend to you and Denali Stud going forward? We've heard a lot from the jockeys and the trainers and the owners, and we know that's very obvious what it is. But when it comes to Denali Stud and consigning, what does this weekend mean?
I mean, this is the pinnacle of the sport. This is what we're all striving to do, is to be associated with horses that can compete at this level. And, not only from the North American full crops, but, against the world and the world's best. So for us to have horses that we've sold or raised to be competing on these 2 days is that's the ultimate goal, and that's what we strive to do. And so it means a lot to us. It's very it's very rewarding, and you know we're proud to be associated with the connections that we have coming into the weekend. So you know, looking forward to exciting 2 days racing.
And certainly no shortage of that as well. I mean, you go to the Denali Stud website, or of course you see you guys and you can see the most notable graduates, and you're going to have to scroll quite a bit to get to the bottom of the page. So there are quite a few out there, and just goes to your credit for, like you said, 30 years of hard work. And it's a family business for you as well with your mother and father.
Oh yeah. You know, I get to work really closely with my dad, and you know, my mom and my dad, you know, started this business on their own and have grown it into what it's become today. And you know, that's something I'm really proud of. And you know, I get to enjoy that I get to work with my dad and in shaping the future of Denali. So it's exciting. And no, we're very fortunate that we get to work with some of the best breeders in the world. And you know, they give us and entrust us with very high caliber stock. So you know, without them, we wouldn't be here. So
mm-hmm. You, I want to say you're going into a very busy season in November, but I feel like every time I see you, it's a very busy season.
It's the sales season. It's all busy.
Yeah, sales all year long, every sale, you guys. But it just speaks to your presence at all of the big shows, whether it be the races or the sales. But what can we look forward to with Denali Stud coming up soon?
You know, we've got an excited November consignments, both at Fasig Tipton and at Keeneland. You know, starting with Fasig on the Tuesday, we've got Photo Call, which we're really excited to present and offer to the world. This is actually our second time selling Photo Call. The first time we sold her was, you know, she was out of training with Graham Motion and owned by BBA Ireland, Patrick Cooper, and sort of for $3 million to Vinny Viola, and they went on to win another Grade One, and you know, they win the First Lady, they beat Tepin, they run a 109 buyer, which to date, she's still the fastest Grade One winning Galileo in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they win a Grade One with her. And we were fortunate enough that they retired Photo Call back to the farm when her career was finished. So we've kind of been able to be a part of her career, you know, through multiple stages. And it's been really rewarding to see her transition to motherhood. And, you know, she's in full to Quality Road. So who, you know, obviously, you know, speaks for himself. He's an amazing stallion, and really kind of showing that he's got some turf prowess too, with mm-hmm. Three Grade One winners on turf. Photo Call has a Warfront yearling that's going to go to John Gosden that the breeders have retained, and it's really, you know, they've got the Warfront filly. There's an Uncle Mo colt on the ground, and so now we're really looking forward to her. You know, we've got quite a few others, and the list goes on. You know, we're selling at Keeneland a race filly, Iki Masho, mm-hmm. who's a graded stakes winning filly, and her half brother in Australia is now 4-for-4, still undefeated, and he's going to go to the Group One Railway Stakes. So
who is that?
Harbor Views.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the big difference for you as the consigner with these select sales horses of racing age as compared to the yearlings or two-year-old sales with what you guys are doing?
You know, for us, the yearling sales, they're mentally and physically draining in their own way. You know, you're going to have the buyers are going to come through, and they're going to look at every single horse. And, you know, and you're going to have a really high volume of showing. The bloodstock sales, the weanlings have that level of activity. You know, everyone's going to come through and look at them. But the fillies and mares, you know, that people do their homework coming into the sale. So they've got a more refined list, and, you know, they're not casting as wide of a net. So they're not going to have the same volume that some of the weanlings will have. But, you know, it's still a lot of research and homework into families and what's running on the track relative wise. And, so, and you know, if the mares had some foals, what are her foals like? Do you have pictures of the foals? And so there's a lot on the back end that goes into the sales. But you know, it's exciting because you have mares that or fillies that have current form, and you know, you can kind of, you know, provide buyers with information of, you know, like, this is where you could go with with this offering. So,
and speaking of which, you guys do provide so much information, and getting to witness Denali set at sales in person. I mean, your team that you have, both actually on the grounds at the sale at the farm, and then also in the office as well. Just how well, how good of a job you guys do. I mean, that in itself is a lot of work. Can you speak to the talents of your team at Denali?
Oh man, we'd be nowhere without our team. I know. Certainly, my dad and I would be lost. They keep us straight and organized. You know, we're led by two farm managers of the year, and, mm-hmm. and Gary Bush and Donnie Snellings, and you know, we've got a really core, you know, great core group of people that you know, we really rely on. You know, Sarah Fishback, our director of sales, she's in charge of herding cats a lot, and you know, we can certainly be guilty of that, but. No, we're very fortunate. You know, we've got one of the best teams. You know, I'd put them up with anybody,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they allow my dad and I to really hone in and focus. And you know, we don't have to worry too much because we, you know, we've got a great trust and confidence in them.
Lots to look forward to, and a great team to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's a stressful week, stressful month coming up, but enjoy the next 2 days here. Picturesque Santa Anita, and best of luck starting next week back in Kentucky.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to a great weekend of racing, and yeah, we'll roll on.
Conrad Bandroff, Vice President of Denali Stud. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport, comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
I'm here with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, exactly how do the Flair strips work?
Mike, remember that a horse only breathes through its nose when it's running. About 50% of the resistance to getting the oxygen through the nose and into the lungs is at the nasal passages. They're the narrowest part of the upper airway, and that's where Flair strips work. The strips are proven to help prevent the nasal passages from collapsing, so horses breathe easier and get the oxygen they need more efficiently.
Learn more at flarestrips.com/learn.
Oaklawn Racing Casino Resort in Hot Springs, Arkansas begins its legendary thoroughbred racing season Friday, January 24th. Over $600,000 in average daily purses. Maiden special weights start at $85,000 and open allowance races start at $90,000. Plus four $1 million stakes among a rich 33 race stakes schedule. Stall application deadline is November 7th. Plan now to be a part of Oaklawn's richest season ever. Oaklawn, a new level of racing, a new level of winning.
Mark your calendar for the Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National on Wednesday, November 27th. The card features three outstanding stakes races, the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes, the $100,000 Swatara Stakes, and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Futurity. Plus, there's a special $3,500 holiday cash giveaway. First post is 6 p.m. Eastern, with the stakes included in the early pick four, comprised of races 1-4. Go to hcpn.com for details and rules.
Introducing the Spendthrift Farm, an unparalleled class of new stallions entering stud in 2020, headlined by four Breeders' Cup hopefuls, sprint contender Mattoli.
Mattoli wins the run, Happy Met Mile!
Dirt mile contenders Omaha Beach and Colfront.
Omaha Beach, yes!
Colfront wins it for the U.S.
And classic contender Vino Rosso.
Vino Rosso, fantastico!
Best of luck to all the connections in this year's Breeders' Cup, Spendthrift. The Breeders' Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Nice of you to wake up in time. Back here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, Bobby Newman alongside Megan Devine, live from Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita Park. We are winding down what has been a whirlwind 3 days here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, and that means we are about 24 hours away from the first of this year's Breeders' Cup races. Megan, we've seen so much and heard so much in mm-hmm. these last 3 days. What are you most looking forward to on the Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday?
First of all, I can't even believe that it is already, what day is it, Thursday? What year is it? because this has just flown by. Our guests have been so fantastic. You've been so fantastic, Bobby. So, I mean, even just...
What was that last thing you
said? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our producer can play it back. No, you have been.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention until that.
I just can't believe how quickly it's gone and how fast we are approaching the Breeders' Cup World Championship. So, I mean, for me, you know, as a handicapper, I am very much looking forward to diving even deeper into these cards and really putting my tickets together as I do on TVG. And I'll also be doing some work with the international broadcast out here. So it'll be exciting to, as a handicapper, as a horse player, to play along from a sentimental standpoint. Midnight Bizou, I mean, in my opinion, she is Horse of the Year already. I certainly have respect for all of the others as well. But, I mean, this is a potential Hall of Fame career that we are witnessing with Midnight Bizou. And I'm so looking forward to the connections from Bloom Racing, Steve Asmussen, Scott Blasi, the entire team that works so hard out there. So I'm just a racing fan in general when you break it down, and it's a great day of racing. Great 2 days of racing that we'll have.
Be sure to join our HRRN team for exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race, both tomorrow and Saturday afternoons. We'll be live from Santa Anita beginning 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Both broadcasts can be heard nationwide on Sirius 219, XM 201, along with terrestrial affiliates across the country. If you can't make it to a radio, you can stream the broadcast live on your computer, phone, or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. So join us tomorrow from 4 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Saturday 3 to 9 p.m. Eastern for exclusive radio coverage of every Breeders' Cup race. The Breeders' Cup runs on HRRN. It has been a tremendous 3 days here, weather-wise, scene-wise, and we are winding down with the final minute of our Breeders' Cup countdown. I really haven't seen anyone that looks bad. They love it here in this cooler weather. It's not going to be cool when it comes post-time tomorrow and Saturday. Back up into the 80s. If you're here in Southern California, make your way out to Santa Anita. If you're somewhere else around the country, make your way somewhere where you can either watch or listen to the Breeders' Cup. It is going to be a tremendous 2 days, as it always is. On behalf of producer Sean C. and Lee Delapina back in Kentucky, co-host Megan Devine, I am Bobby Newman. We are signing off for the 2019 Breeders' Cup Countdown and looking forward to 2 days of Breeders' Cup events tomorrow and Saturday here at beautiful Santa Anita Park.